All right, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're continuing our study through the New Testament on Sunday morning. We're in the Old Testament on Wednesday night, in case you're able to join us. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We're in the book of Isaiah, and love to have you come join us. We are in chapter 4, verse 12. And we're going to use a couple of verses here to kind of springboard us this morning into our communion time. And it starts in verse 12 by saying, "Dear friends," which I got to tell you I don't like very much, because it kind of sounds to me like the beginning of a support letter or something that somebody's sending you so that, you know, ask for money. The Greek is much more intimate than that. It speaks of family. In fact, if you have a different translation on your lap this morning than what I'm reading, your Bible probably says beloved. And that is closer, that's what basically it means. And it's given in a more intimate family type of fashion, so that we might understand that Peter is talking about the family, or talking to, rather, the family of God here. Beloved. Beloved, listen now to what I have to say. And you'll remember that Peter's been writing to a people, as we've said many, many times, who are enduring great persecutions for just because they know Jesus Christ and have determined in their hearts to live for Him. And he says to them, do not be surprised. And that word surprise can also be translated amazed. Don't be amazed at what? At the painful trial that you are suffering. Your Bible may say fiery ordeal, and actually the word fiery is closer to the Greek. It speaks of the difficulty of life that really existed for these people because they were Christians. Remember, they lived in the Roman Empire, and they were living under the rule of Nero, and I won't even get into the unspeakable things that Nero did to the believers at that time. But if you know a little bit of history and you know some of the things that Nero did to the believers back then, I would think it was kind of strange. We think of persecution along a lot of different fronts, I suppose, but the things that Nero did to the believers were absolutely horrific. And yet Peter says to the people that he writes here to, and then also to you and I, don't be surprised. Don't be amazed that these are the kinds of things that are happening to people who call themselves by the name of Jesus Christ. And what he is conveying to us here is a reminder of something that we've seen multiple times in our study of 1 Peter so far, and that is that suffering and being a Christian go hand in hand. We quoted earlier a passage that the Apostle Paul had written to Timothy when he said, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It just simply comes with the territory on some level. Now, here we are living in the cushy United States of America, and for the most part, our religious freedoms are still very much intact in this country, and for that we thank God, and we praise Him that that is the way it is, because there are many, many, many believers worldwide who do not share the same freedoms that we have here in the USA related to the practice and of our faith and so forth. But regardless of the fact that we may not be suffering in the same way, the same exact way that others are suffering, there is some level, you know, of persecution that still takes place, even in America. Maybe you've experienced it in your own family. Maybe you've experienced what it is to kind of be ostracized from family members because you have made a determination to walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you have found some level of persecution at work, where you were passed over or not given a bonus like some of the other people. Certainly you understand, I'm sure, those of you that are believers, the what it is to kind of not be included, you know, in the group. There's kind of a fraternity, you know, of people that like to tell their dirty jokes and and their nasty stories and be included in the party thing, and you're not part of that because they know you're a believer. Well, it's maybe a small level of persecution because you're a Christ, because you're in Christ, but it is something nonetheless. But what Peter talks about here, as he goes on here in verse 13, is something that I really want to focus on this morning for just a little bit, and that is in verse 13 he says, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." This is an interesting word that is translated participate here in this verse. And it is the verb form of the noun koinonia. You guys know what our koinonia groups are all about. We created groups for people to get together in fellowship. And by the way, fellowship is not, we've talked about this before, not just sitting around with a pizza or something and, watching the game. That may be part of what we include in our fellowship time. But fellowship is primarily sharing our lives. Something that we Americans aren't very good at doing. We live in a very privatized culture today here in the United States of America. We have somehow been led to believe that if our lives really aren't kind of just tracking in a particular vein, then we're kind of second-class citizens, and whatever you do when you come to church, don't let anybody know that you might be hurting, because heavens, they might think you're somehow not quite as together and spiritual and whatever else as other people. And so what we end up doing is we end up just being very superficial in our relationships for the most part. And you come to church and you pass somebody and you say, hey, and they say, hey, how's it going? Which isn't even a question. It's a greeting, which kind of bugs me a little bit. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, they don't want to know. If you stopped them and started telling them how you were doing, really how you were doing, they'd be sorry they asked, right? So the thing is just kind of hey, how you doing? And you come back and you're like, yeah, good. And you walk by each other and, your life could be a train wreck. Or there could be some real serious issues of pain and hurt and challenge that are going on in your life, but nobody knows about it because you know that when they ask the question, they really aren't sincere, and they really don't want to hear, and you really don't want to tell them. And so fundamentally, what we end up doing as Christians is we live our lives in Christ apart from fellowship. Now, there are some people, I'm very pleased to say, who have discovered what it means to fellowship, what it means to really open up their hearts and lives to other people. And that's cool. But that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And it's scary, but it can be done. And it is part of what makes us stronger as Christians. Now, I want you to see what Peter is saying here about fellowship. He says, but rejoice that you, and let me just go ahead and throw that in there. I'm going to put the word share because that's what fellowship is. It's true sharing. He says in verse 13, but rejoice that you share in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. That word, again, means coming together and sharing something. Have you ever thought about sharing in His sufferings? When we think about sharing, we think about sharing a meal, sharing a home, sharing our hearts, sharing a story, sharing a praise report. Those are the things that typically we would categorize as part and parcel of our fellowship. We fellowshiped tonight. It was really cool. Some people shared some stuff, and then I shared, and then there's some more sharing, and then we shared a meal, and there was a lot of good sharing, and that's cool. Because that's what fellowship is. But have you ever thought about sharing your suffering? To the point where I let you in and you suffer with me and I suffer with you in the issues that you're going through. See, we don't normally make that sort of a connection related to koinonia or, fellowship. And yet the Apostle Peter wants you and I to make that connection as it relates to Christ and His suffering. Rejoice, Christians. that you are participating. Again, bottom line, coming from koinonia, that you are sharing intimately in His suffering. When you suffer for His name, you share on a personal level. And we're not talking about sharing the kind of sufferings that have to do with redemption. Jesus suffered for you and I on the cross, and He purchased our redemption for us. And there's nothing you and I can add to that or take away from it. We're talking about simply entering into a like-mindedness, a like-heartedness of the suffering that He suffered for you and I, the suffering of rejection, the suffering of being snubbed, the suffering of being spat upon, cared nothing about, and so forth. And when you and I suffer insults, and people look at us like, oh, there comes that dumb Christian, and whether they verbalize it or not, you and I join in a very real and very viable way the suffering of Christ. We enter into a koinonia of suffering through Jesus Christ. And Peter said that that's cause for rejoicing. That's what he says here. You see, you and I tend to look at suffering in a fairly myopic sort of a way. We're kind of tunnel visioned when it comes to suffering. Well, our suffering anyway. And when I'm suffering, when I'm hurting, when I've got issues going on in my life that are painful and challenging and difficult and those fiery trials, you could be on fire and I wouldn't notice. I'm sorry. I mean, I say that to my shame. But I know human beings, and that's kind of the way we are. You know, we're fairly, you know, dialed in related to our own issues. And because we're so fixated on our pain, it's a pretty weird thing for you and I to hear someone in the Scripture say, rejoice in the midst of that. But that's what Peter is saying. Rather than becoming fixated, rather than becoming just all about me, my pain, he says, but rejoice that you participate, that you share in the sufferings of Christ. And then look what he says in the end of that verse. So that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Now, Peter is revealing something to us, not for the first time. Jesus talked about it earlier. He's probably just repeating what he heard the Lord say. But he's saying something to us here that had we not read it in the Bible, we would not have any way of knowing that this was going to be. The Scriptures tell you and I that when Jesus comes back, when He returns to this earth, which He's promised to do, you and I are somehow going to share in the glory that He receives. How? I don't know. But there is something unique and something special about the glory that will be shared by those who have entered into His suffering. Now you might say, well, gee, here I am in the United States of America. And, you know, I mean, persecution really isn't that significant here. So does that mean that I'm never going to be able to share in the glory of the Lord because my suffering has been fairly muted because of that? Let me share with you here as we get into communion just one other aspect of suffering that I believe that is ours by calling as Christians. And I think it's a very significant and a very real kind of suffering. But we may not always see it that way. And it's the suffering that comes into our lives. Let me be a little more dramatic about it. It is the death that comes into our lives when we are called upon by God to die to ourselves, to die to sin. Death to sin is something that every Christian has to come to terms with sooner or later. We come to know Christ as our Savior. We enjoy the wonderful glow of knowing that He loves us. And we're filled with an inexpressible joy because of that love. And we're on this total honeymoon high. But then eventually, The Holy Spirit begins to speak to us about things in our lives that are harmful and that need to be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. God never comes to you and I and says, by the way, I want you to change that thing. He never comes to us and say, hey, you need to work on that, buddy. He doesn't say that. What he says to us is, give this to me, that through my power, through my spirit living within you, you might die to self and live to me. So that you might take that thing, whatever it is, you might crucify it. You know, we were singing, man, I did not share with Brandon the things I was going to talk about here today from the Word. And I was just amazed as I was looking at the lyrics of the songs we went through there, you know, about at the cross you beckon me, you know. And the freedom that some of the songs talked about, the freedom that comes with having come to the cross and dying to self. But don't ever think, Christians, that that's an easy process. Death is never an easy process. And it involves an element of suffering on our parts. Okay? If you think the self dies easy, think again. And again, this is what every new Christian has to come to terms with. Eventually, you come up against something in your life. Boom. Whatever it is. Whatever it may be. It could be something that's in your thoughts, you know, and God convicts you of just what you're thinking about or what you're doing. Maybe you're still involved in some of the old ways that you lived before you knew Christ. Or you're hanging out with people that are just really dragging you down. Or you've got a habit, you know, that's going on in your life that's hurting you. Or it could be any number of things. And you're walking along and you're just going along your happy little way. And the Holy Spirit just begins to speak to you and talk to you about your life. And he does it always in a very gentle and very loving way. And he'll come to you and say, my child, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. And I want the best for you. Do you trust me? Yes, Father, I trust you. Ask anything of me. Well, there's this thing in your life that you need to, it needs to go. Okay, Lord, anything but that. You know, sort of a thing, you know, and we're just like, boom, you just hit this thing with the Lord where, oh, you know, I don't know, that, Lord, really that? That thing? And it could be something that's either near and dear to you, or it could be something you hate, but you just still don't think you can get rid of it. You don't think there's any way you can ever get rid of it. And the Holy Spirit begins to say, let me tell you something. He'll say, my child, there is only one way. You can't grit your teeth and just make it happen. That addiction, that relationship, that issue you have with money, that issue you have in your thoughts, that issue with this or that or the other thing, you can't grit your teeth and be a good Christian. The only way that you're ever going to have victory over that thing or that situation in your life is if you come to me and die and enter into my death. I died for your sin. Now you need to come and you need to die with your sin and the things that you fight against every day and you know are keeping you from being all that I want you to be. Now come and die. And wow, you know, That whole death thing, I mean, just kind of freaks me out from start to finish. I got to admit to you. Don't like the whole dying process. Never did. Not fun. Not fun at all. But then the Holy Spirit starts to speak to us and say, without death, there's no resurrection. And without a resurrection, no glory. There's a passage in Romans that I want to show you here this morning that kind of where Paul kind of outlines this from Romans chapter 8. It says, now if we are children, and we are, he says, then we are heirs. And an heir is going to receive everything that, you know, God's going to give. And he says, we're heirs of God and we're co-heirs with Christ. But you notice there's this qualifying if that is tagged on to the end of that verse. It says, if indeed we share, and that's the same word, by the way, that where we get koinonia. If we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Did you catch the connection? In order that you don't get one without the other. Sometimes, you know, we just want all the glory. You know, God, I want everything to be great and good all the time. But I don't want to suffer any death. I don't want to go through any dying issues or process, you know, related to all these things. I just want to live and I want to be happy. And God, can't we just all be happy? You know, we forget sometimes that we forget what's coming for Christians. It's been said, and I think this is probably true. I mean, it's not biblical, but I think it's probably got some accuracy to it. It's been said that for believers, this life on this earth is the only hell you'll ever know. But for an unbeliever, this is the only heaven they will ever know. This is as good as it gets for an unbeliever. But for you who are in Christ, this can't even compare to what's coming. This can't even compare. So as Christians, what do we do now? How do we live our lives? Paul explained it. He says, you know, we groan and it's like, man, oh man. That's not to say we moan and groan in the sense of bickering and complaining, but we recognize that we're living in this fallen world and that someday Jesus is going to set all things right again. But for now, we struggle, we suffer because there are so many things in this life that want to lay hold of our lives. I mean, take hold of us by the heart and own us. You know what I mean? That really want to own us. And we have to be constantly on our guard, constantly alert about those things coming and say, no, I'm not going to go along with that whole process. In fact, I am going to listen to the voice of my Heavenly Father, and I am going to be willing to allow Him to do that work of crucifixion in my life, whereby I die to those things of the world. Oh boy, that's never easy. I mean, I sit here and say it, and the words just roll off my tongue, I know. But it's a whole other issue to put your feet on the pavement and walk it out. To say to someone or something that you know is ungodly in your life and say, this has got to end. This situation can't go on. Or to know in your heart that this addiction that you've been dealing with to pornography or sex in general or alcohol or drugs or any number of other addictive things must come to an end. And the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about dying and suffering. But it's so that you might be free, so that you might really live. Because with suffering comes death. But from death always comes resurrection. And with resurrection, one day, we'll come sharing in His glory. What does that mean? You say, Pastor Paul, what does that mean that we're going to share in His glory? I don't have a clue. I have no clue. I mean, it is just so far beyond you and me that we're just like, blue. You know, we read those things in the Word of God and we're kind of like, yeah, whatever. All we know is that Moses at one particular point said, God, I would like to see Your glory. And He said, sorry, no can do. You know? That's all we know. It would fry you, Moses, right where you stand. Can't do it. Oh, okay. Okay, so I know the glory of the Lord. I can't even look at it. I can't even see it, not in this form anyway. It's beyond me. I mean, how can I even describe it? How can I tell you? How can we even begin to hope for it when we can't even really relate to it? Well, I'll tell you how. Faith goes where understanding can't. Faith goes where, you know, the intellectual processes can't go. And I come to the point in my Christian walk where I say, you know what? God said it. I believe it. Peter says right here, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. All I know is when Jesus' glory is revealed, we will be overjoyed. At least those who have suffered. And if we have not suffered the level of persecution that these believers were undergoing, we will at least stand before Christ someday, and we will have suffered because we will have yielded to the work of His Holy Spirit to bring about that crucifixion in our own lives whereby we might one day say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the goal. That's our hope. That we might, that even though we are called upon to die today, that we will live. Amen?